So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, we give you all of the praise and the glory. God, all of the honor. As we enter into Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday the next couple of weeks, God, help us to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, the last week of the life of Jesus. And God, even this morning as we finish our series, Man in the Mirror, God, that as we begin to look at authority in our lives, God, knowing that when we submit to the authority on the earth, that honestly, Lord, we are submitting to a heavenly authority, and that's you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I pray, Lord, for all of our hearts, God, to be soft this morning as we hear the word of God, that it would do exactly what it was meant to do, to divide and sharpen us, Lord God, to correct us and to teach us. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Will you take a seat right where you are? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13 and say, go Pelicans if you can, because you know they won last night. I don't know if you care. It doesn't even matter if you care. Jesus is in the house. Turn to Romans chapter 13, and we're looking at the man in the mirror. How many people are excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Let me hear you say, amen. If you'll take off that synth, please, that'd be awesome. Man in the mirror. And we're looking at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And so just confirming Romans chapter 13. How many people have been here for the other two sermons? You've been here for sermon one. You've been here for sermon two. And now you're like, I cannot wait to hear sermon number three. Anybody? You've done them all. Okay. So yeah, I mean, I think church, thank you. Thank you. I see your hand in the back. And so we are ending out the series, Man in the Mirror, and we've just had an incredible time. I've been walking around singing the Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror. I don't know if that, Ted, is like that a worship song now? Can I sing, I'm looking at the man in the, y'all know what song I'm talking about? And it's a good song, it's a fun song. And so Ted's like, I don't know if that's worship, but I'm singing it, hallelujah, and I'm asking if I should change my ways. I'm the crazy one in the family, in case you do not know. Anyway, excited. Pastor Ted, he preached in the first series about how we're to look in the mirror, and it's examining our ways, and we look at the Word of God and see, how does that look in my life? When I'm looking at the Word of God, how does that change me? How does that make me more like Jesus? And so we encourage you to do that. And then last week, Jeremy talked about looking at the man and inviting someone in to hold you accountable in your life, that you cannot do this by yourself. You cannot walk with Jesus by yourself. You won't grow. If you never allow somebody to correct you, you won't grow. And so Ted and I, we were talking after service last week, and I was talking to someone else this week who's in leadership position, and I said, you know, it's so interesting because most people don't want to be held accountable about anything. I don't know. It's the new generation. We'll always say that that's the new generation and how they don't like to be held accountable. And so we sort of talked about this and how accountability is hard, but it's necessary. Do you have somebody in your life that holds you accountable, that says some things even if you don't like the things that they were said? And sometimes even within the church, we'll say something in love. We'll try to say it after we fasted and after we've prayed. And we said, this really needs to be confronted. And most of the time in our life, if I was to be honest, it blows up. Like, no one listens to what we say, and then they just get mad and angry. Do you have people like that? Like, just get mad and angry when you tell them something, even though it's real and you really have to tell them something. And then I think about my life, and in my life, if Ted tells me something, Ted is one of my accountability partners, and sometimes I am harsh in the way that I live life, and so sometimes he'll tell me something and I'm like, you can't tell me anything. And so eventually, over the next couple of days, I'll sit down and I'll breathe and I'll be calm and I'll say, okay, you were right. But it's an accountability that we invite into the mirror. Now, whenever you look at a mirror, and I've just so happened to have a mirror right here, a mirror tells you your reflection, correct? We talked about this. And I don't know, anybody knows what kind of mirror this is? This is a makeup mirror. How, now, all the ladies in the house, you know these, right? Yeah, Ted got me one of these for Christmas, like a couple years back. But he's like over the top, so he bought a Bluetooth one, you know what I'm talking about? And it has like speaker systems, and like it cost a bajillion dollars. I was like, you could have got me the $2 one from the dollar store. I don't need a Bluetooth. I just need to look at myself a little closely. Now, the thing about these mirrors is you look at one side, it's like your regular face. You sort of look at it, and it's the right proportion. But when you flip it over, what happens, ladies? What happens? You get a little bit of a closer inspection, right? It shows, that way if you're putting on your eyeliner or your makeup or whatever it is that you're doing, you get like the correct look that you're looking for. And today, I want to show you this. This is my side that has like, you know, showing you closer. This one word that we're going to talk about this morning is authority. And even in the room, you're like, really? Yes, authority will allow you to have a better reflection. Now, whenever we're looking in this mirror and you're trying to get a better inspection on your life, sometimes authority will, and most of the time, will help you be more like Jesus. Our goal is not to be like us. My goal is not to please you. My goal is to please Him. And so when I look into a mirror in my life and I'm getting a better inspection of my life, sometimes God will place authority in your life so that you have a better reflection. Today's sermon is called A Better Reflection with Correction. Now, what is exactly authority? Authority, if you're looking at what authority means, is the delegated, I think we have a slide for this, is the delegated right to rule or lead. It means the power to act, decide, command, and judge. So how many people are in a position of authority in your life? Raise your hand if you're in a position of authority. Moms, you should raise your hand. Fathers, you should raise your hand. You are in a position, God has placed you as an authority over your kids. And all the people are like, yeah, that's them. Okay, and so we look at, now if you're maybe a position of a teacher, that is a position of authority, or a boss. If you're a boss of someone or something, or you're a manager, you have a position, a delegated right to rule or lead. Maybe undeserving, maybe just because, you know, you have kids, you've got that spot. But it means that God has placed in us a power to act, decide, command, and judge. That is what authority is. And so we were placed under the authority of Christ. He is the ultimate authority in my life. And when He places other authority, whether or not I like them, I didn't say that you had to like your boss or your teacher or your principal or the person. All I'm saying is that God has placed a position of authority over our lives in certain directions, bosses and judges and police officers. And again, I don't have to be their best friend, but that is a position that God has given them so that me, myself, can be a better reflection of Jesus. Now, according to the Bible, authority should be respected. So we should respect authority. One of my biggest qualms a lot of times is in politics. Whatever you believe, it's not about that. All I'm saying is that there is a position that God has placed and that I'm to respect them. Don't have to love what they're doing. Don't have to agree with every decision, but I have to respect the position of authority. Ephesians 6 says this. He says that we're to position ourselves under Jesus. We are actually slaves of Jesus, doing the will of God from our heart. And so we have to know that our reflection is changed by the correction that authority gives us. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we're looking at verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, your Bibles are right behind you, on the side of you. It's all around you. Are you there? Everybody's there. Romans chapter 13. And it says this: let every person, Now, let me explain to you before we get started. Romans was written to the church at Rome, and it was a diverse church. It was culturally diverse. It was also spiritually diverse. They had Jews and Gentiles. They had people that knew of God that came to Jesus, and they had Gentiles that knew nothing of God that came to Jesus, and there was a lot of division in the church at Rome. There was a lot of people talking about all kinds of things, and nobody wanted to submit to any kind of authority because it was a very Greek philosophy. Let me do what I want to do. Yet in Romans 13, Paul, the letter writer in this case, he writes in verse 13, verse 1, he says, let every person, look at the Bible, it says, let every person be subject to what? To the governing authorities. Now again, it doesn't say if you like them, if you voted for them, if you didn't vote for them, if you like your parents, you don't like your parents. It doesn't say any of those things. Paul just says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that that do exist have been instituted by God. So this is the gist of that is like every authority that is placed in our lives have been sifted through the hand of God. Now they might be good or they might be bad. They might honor God. They might not honor God. But every authority that has been placed in our life is sifted. God has allowed that authority to go through his hands. And now he has placed it in your hands and in your position. So whenever we look at authority, what we're saying is what God is saying. He's saying there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by who? Somebody say God. It's been instituted by God. So keep on reading in verse 2. It says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. See, I'm not to listen, I'm to understand that the authority in my life has been placed and appointed by God. Therefore, I'm not to resist them because God has put them in position over my life. And those who resist them, it says in verse 2, will incur judgment. Again, so let's look at verse 2. It says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist him will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct. Can I get an amen? If you're doing the right thing, if you're following the speed limit, that police officer that follows you doesn't offer as much terror. Why? Because you were following the speed limit. So in verse 3, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. Even if it is not a man of God, even if it's not a believer, the Lord still says that he is allowing that person to be in position over you as a servant for God's good in your life. So for verse 4, it says, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of my conscience. I'm going to honor authority. I'm going to submit to authority because of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me. For this, you pay your taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing, pay to what is owed. Owed him, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, and respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. So I want to talk about three things today, just three things. If you're taking notes, if you don't have notes, they're in your bulletin. Number one, what are we going to do with authority? How are we going to allow the mirror of our life to offer a correction? No one likes being corrected. And yet Paul says through the word of God, let every person be subject to the governing authority. So number one, here's a good one. Keep your mouth shut. I might say keep your mouth shut. Now turn to your neighbor and say, now you too, you keep your mouth shut and receive it. Oh, this is hard. I remember my first, y'all like, I can't even keep my shit. I'm going to talk right now. I taught at Oak Lawn Junior High School. I was a band director. I had a degree, and I have a degree in music education. And so it was my first year. Now, I was very sheltered. I knew nothing. I told the kids on Wednesday, I didn't even know what weed smelled like. I had no clue. And so I know. And so I was at Oak Lawn Junior High School, and I was 21 years old. I had a band class, and they were bad. They were super bad. They were like so bad, I didn't know what to do. And I'm young, and they know. That, you know when kids know that they're young and they try to play over you? And so I'm sitting there in band, and I don't know what I'm doing. And I'll never forget, about halfway through the semester, I rarely ever get really, really sick. And I had gotten so sick, and they didn't know this, but I knew. I showed up every day in college. I'm that kid. I'm sitting first class, first row, you know, first chair. I'm there. And so I had to miss a week of school. Because I was like running fever. I had like swollen lymph nodes. It was really bad. And I get back to school and I have a class that's terrible. Fifth hour. They were clarinet players. Anybody play a clarinet? Don't. And so they're all bad. And so I'm sitting there and I'm trying to get my class controlled. I mean, we're not even playing notes. I'm just looking at them like, please don't talk. Please don't hit each other. Please don't fight each other. And so I'm sitting there and my principal comes over the speaker system. You know what I'm talking about? Out in classrooms, they have a speaker system. Yeah, so he decides to chew me out in front of my worst class in fifth hour. So he gets over the speaker and he says, Miss Lugabill, that was my maiden name. And I'm like, oh Lord, it's God. And it wasn't, it was him. And so he said, I noticed that you didn't lock the band door while you were sick. And I was like, now in my mind, I'm thinking there's a door with glass. It was locked. Like, that was locked. There's a door that opened the band door, and that was also locked, deadbolted, like we in a triple boat at Oak Lawn. And so we're sitting there, and I was like, in my mind, every door had been locked. And I'm like, really? He's like, I noticed you didn't lock the door that leads into the instrument room. And I'm thinking, dude, like I locked the door, I deadbolted, triple bolted, everything was triple bolted. But there was one door, for whatever reason, he decided to walk in and he decided to chew me out on the speaker system. And I'm sitting there in my mind and I'm a believer, I love Jesus. And I'm sitting there and you're doing it in front of my worst class. Like now, I look stupid, I look dumb. And so I'm looking there and all the kids are like, Miss Lugabill's getting chewed out. And I sat there and I'm thinking, there's a lot I could say. Because see, in my mind, I had a lot to say about this principle, but I just kept my mouth shut. And here's what I did. I received it. I just said, okay. I said, sir, I even forget his name. I was only taught there a year. And I said, I am so sorry. I said, I'm sorry. And I just received the correction. Why? Not because of him, not in the way that he did it, because it was terrible. That's not how you should chew somebody out. Chew me out in private, please. And I sat there because I wanted to honor Jesus. See, if the Son of God could shut his mouth before he went to the cross, remember that? It says he was silent when they crucified him. In fact, in Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says this about Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. If Jesus before the cross could open not his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth, so can I. 21-year-old self at Oak Lawn Junior High School, I'm not going to open my mouth. I'm just going to receive it because I am submitting to the authority that God has placed in my life. So much of our problem today is we think, I need to be heard. I wanted to tell him something. I wanted to say, but I did this door. See, even now, I'm trying to like make myself look better in front of you guys, and I wanted to make myself look better in front of those fifth hour class because they were crazy. And yet in my mind I said, because I love Jesus, because we had started a Christian club on the campus there, because I wanted to honor Christ, I said, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and receive it. Number two, as you're keeping your mouth shut and you are receiving it in your silence, remember the most important thing is that I honor Jesus. That's the most important thing. See, his soul, heaven or hell, that's real. Whether or not you chew me out, that's not even a thing that I'll probably be worried about within the next week. But if I can keep my silence to know and that I reminded myself what you're trying to tell this man about Jesus. So I'm going to submit to authority. I had an assignment. Jesus had an assignment on his life. What was his assignment? The cross. He had to go to the cross for who? You, me, us. He knew that that was the assignment on his life, so he shut his mouth. He had an assignment. God had said, you're going to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. So don't open your mouth. And in my assignment and your assignment is we need to reflect Jesus to every person that I meet. So I don't need to stick the middle finger at somebody that pulls in front of me in the car because I'm a bad driver too. Why? I am submitting to the authority. I don't need to talk back to a teacher. I don't need to talk back to a cop or a person that God has placed in my life. Why? Because it's not about them. It is about me reflecting Jesus to the world. So I can shut my mouth. I can be called things and I can be accused of things and I can submit myself to authority in my life because my biggest goal is that my life at the end of it is that I would have honored Jesus. Do I get it right all the time? No. But I need to submit to the authority in my life. We have an authority problem. If all I want is to honor Christ, see, I want the kingdom of God to advance here. I want the kingdom of God to advance in our church. I want the kingdom of God to advance in HOMA. And that means that it's not about me, that all I need to do is sit myself underneath the authority that God has allowed in my life and he's placed in my life. My thoughts and the matter are not the most important. My way in the matter is not the most important. The way somebody told me something, you know, if somebody tell you something a certain way, then all of a sudden you got to feel like you need to say something. The way that it was said to me over that speaker was not the most important thing. Why? Because I am looking in the mirror and I'm allowing the authority that God has placed in my life to correct me, even if I think they're wrong. Kids, you need to hear this for your parents. Your parents aren't perfect. But there's still the authority that God has placed over you. Now, there is a little catch in this. And I want to be honest about the catch. Unless the authority asks you to dishonor the Lord. If that authority, and I want to give a couple of examples, would be that they ask you to renounce your faith in Jesus. We don't submit to that authority because the authority of God says, I'm to submit to him. And that he is the Lord of mine. If that authority is asking you to put your faith in other little gods, we don't submit to that authority. If that authority is asking you to break the law, the spiritual laws, God's laws, and or the law of man. For example, if a boss is asking you to steal from the corporation or help him in some kind of wicked and evil scheme, you don't submit to that authority. Because that authority, first of all, God is our covering and our authority. So if you're looking and they're asking you to do something that's illegal, you need to step back. I'm not saying go and tell them off. I'm just saying step back. Ask the Lord, I want a better reflection that looks like Jesus. Pray about it. Fast about it. For example, one of our guys in the room, he's in the military. And they were asking him to do something that dishonored Jesus. The way that he wanted them to tell off other people in the military. And he said, Miss Sarah, he said, I can't do that because that would dishonor Jesus. So he went go talk to them kindly and said, because of my relationship with Jesus, I'll lead, but I'm not going to curse people out while I lead. See, that's different. You don't submit to authority that asks you to do something against Jesus. But in that case, in my case, in Oakland, I needed to submit to him because he was not asking me to do something that was against Jesus. He wasn't asking me to break the law. One of my favorite people, one of my favorite heroes of the faith, my favorite heroes of the faith are dead people because I know that they walked with Jesus and they're dead. Now they're with him. Corrie Ten Boom. She was in Nazi Germany and she was a lady and what they did it was her and her family. When the Nazis came into her community, her and her dad and her mom and her sister decided that we were going to hide every Jew in the basement. So what they did was they created a basement. They took out pieces of wood from the floor and they began to hide Jews. Is that okay? Absolutely, because the authority was going around killing people. When that happens, then that, yes, absolutely. But she knew that there would be a consequence for her actions. And so when the Nazis came in, into the house one day, and the Jews didn't have enough time to hide, and they pulled the Jews out. They also put Corey and her sister and her mom and her dad, and they put him into a concentration camp. There was a consequence because that's what the authority said, but she knew that it was better to follow Jesus. Whenever she gets to that prison camp, she says, I'm going to bring the word of God into the prison camps. So here's what she does. She goes against authority and she brings a Bible. She takes a piece of string and she wraps that Bible around her neck. And then whenever she passed the guards and they ask her to strip, and I mean completely strip, and she walks it in that place and she says, Lord, she says, if you are with me and I'm submitting to the authority of Christ, she said, I'm going to ask you to have your angels cover my body so that I can walk in and bring this Bible into a concentration camp where I will lead hundreds and hundreds to Jesus. And don't you know, God, he took that angel's wings, I don't know how he did it, and he covered her body, and she went by those guards with a big old King James Bible up around her neck, and she passed them, and she brought that Bible into the concentration camp, and she said, here is the word of God. And she, every night when the guards would go to sleep, she'd pull out that Bible, and all the women around her would take a part of that Bible, and she led hundreds to Jesus in the camp, got freed from the camp, and led thousands of people into the day of her death. Look at Psalms 37 in verse 6 and 8. It says, he will vindicate the daylight. You don't have to talk back to authority. You don't have to not submit to authority. Why? Because God is in control and he is the ultimate authority. He will vindicate you in the broad daylight. He will publicly defend your just cause. Don't put anything on social media. God will defend you and your just cause. Wait patiently. Somebody say, wait patiently for the Lord. Wait confidently for him. Do not fret over the apparent success of a sinner, a man who carries out wicked schemes. Do not be angry and frustrated. Do not fret. That only leads to trouble. So it honors Jesus when I submit to authority. Jesus submitted to the authority of God, so we can submit to the authority that God has placed on his life. Remember Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. Can we play that music? I want to close with the third point. Hold on to